God is good.
All the time.
All the time. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We continue our series on the church. And today we're speaking on the church as a unique community. So the church is a unique community. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, you are perfect. You are holy. We thank you that because of your mercy and your grace, that we can come into your throne now. Holy Spirit, move. God, speak, and we are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Christ cannot be only our Savior without also being our Lord. He has to be a Savior and a Lord. In many cases, it's easy for us to make Christ our Savior, so that we can escape any punishment of our sins. But to make him Lord is not easy. At least, it wasn't easy for me. Because when I was confronted to give my life to Jesus, and the question was that what will happen next? Then I was told that you have to let him sit on the throne of your life. And I'm not that very smart guy, but quickly I figure out that means I'm giving my control over my life to Jesus. Then what happened to me? What are the decisions and the things that I like to do that may not go according to his will? That may not be what Jesus really wants me to do. How am I going to look like? What much going to change in me when he becomes my Lord? And it was scary to me. I really wanted him to save me. But to be my Lord wasn't easy. But that's what we are called for. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we allow Jesus to be our Lord, then now he will work in us to transform us by the power of the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel will work when we surrender totally to our Lord Jesus Christ. And for a church to be a unique community in this world, that means they have to walk not in the way that they want, but the way that the Lord wants them to walk. And it's not easy, because alone, on our own, we cannot do it. And none of us cannot do it alone. We have to do it together. So this is a theme that we have been expanding through all this month, the togetherness of the church. We are together. So when you feel like you are alone, I'm reminding you this morning that you're not alone. Not just only that the Lord is with you, but also as a community, we are with you. We are in this together. Africans say that it takes a village to raise a child. And many of you may have heard that African proverb that has become very international. It takes a village to raise a child. And as an African guy, I can attest that that is true. We never raise our children just alone. We raise them together. We value the sense of the togetherness, the sense of the community. And I cherish that this morning we're going to look into together we can walk with the Lord. Because when we walk together as a unique community, we are allowing God to love us, allowing Jesus to save us, but above all, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us. We need empowerment. So it takes all of us to build this unique community. The church is a counter-cultural institution when compared with the rest of the communities around us and the business world around us. For those who are in business, you may have heard about the 20-80, that you need 20% that can shoulder and can carry, make the important and the vital decisions for that organization to go on. And I'm telling you, that's not how it is with the church. It takes all of us as a church. So as we come to our text this morning, taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, I know we read from 1 to 9, because the rest I consider to be the context of these 9 verses that start this chapter. This chapter starts with therefore. And you have heard in many times preachers says, when there is a therefore, we always might ask, we must ask, what is therefore, therefore? Or what the reason for this therefore? So that's what our text starts with this morning. Therefore. And some of the synonyms of therefore are things like this: for, or consequently, accordingly, for this reason. And I like for this reason. So if I can paraphrase, I can say, for this reason. But just my African nature, and English being my second or third language, I wanted it to be more direct. So I said, no, and instead of therefore being for this reason, I will ask a question like, now what? Or maybe I can ask, okay, so what next? Or even, what's the big deal about it? So this therefore that we have today here is not unique. It's like the other therefores. It's there for a reason. And the reason for our therefore is Paul is trying to link 2 major sections of this book. The first part of the book of Romans from 1 to 11, then the second part from 12 to 16. So he's trying to tell us, in light of what I have argued for, in light in what I have told you in the first 11 chapters, now what next? What do you have to do with that? How will that help you? So that's what our therefore really is here for. In the first 11 chapters, Paul has been unfolding, and to me these are the bookmarks or the most important words that we see in this very small passage that we are wrestling with this morning. The mercy of God. He said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. It is in God's mercy. And that God's mercy, he has already explained in the first 11 chapters what God has done for us. And we know that mercy is really not getting what you deserve. Like as sinners who have strayed and gone away from the Lord, because all of us have sins and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing that we can do so that we can fix the sinful nature that we are in. So he introduced that God just in his mercy, though we were destined to be punished, he found a way for us, a means to escape, allowing his son to die for us on the cross, sending the Holy Spirit to equip us and help us to live this Christian life. So Paul is saying, in view of this, the mercy, that though you were destined to be punished, you were supposed to go to hell. I know many people don't want to hear the word hell, but it's a real place. Though you were supposed to go there, I have provided an escape for you. And in light of this escape, I expect you to live a different life. I expect you to be different from the others. So that's what our therefore is here for. And this builds on all the other sermons that we have heard from the previous speakers. And I call them the DDJ, or the two D's and a J. And that was our brother Devin, who spoke last week on the church as a body. This concept that we are one body. You're not just a piece that's a lone ranger hanging without any context or any attachment to the rest of the body. We are one in this body. And thus remind me that if it takes a village for the Africans to raise a child, then it is true that it takes all of us as a body to build a unique culture and display a nature of what God's people should look like. And that is fitting with the context of the today, that when you look at verse 3, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles. I mean, that was in Ephesians that Devin gave to us last week. It says, so God, Christ himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to do what? To equip his people for the work of service. So we have a work to do as a body. And that work we cannot do without being equipped by God himself, so that we can equip ourselves together. And then now we can build this community that will impact the world around us. So as you need skills, as you need knowledge, as there is a competency for every job that you want to do to function well, it's the same that we need these skills that the Spirit and the Lord is giving us to do this work. David, the other day, spoke on church as a family. And it was beautiful, taking us back to the early days of the church community. Not to look back and say how beautiful it was, but to be encouraged, but also to examine ourselves, that where are we today? So he talked from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and one of the verses was, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of the bread, and to prayer. So they were together in that fellowship. And they were a family. And we all know that every healthy family have to balance their love to one another, but also discipline. When things don't go the way that we want them to go, there must be a way to bring us back to where we want to be. Then there was Jeff, and I'm sorry that the two D's, maybe they carry it and you are only one J. But your message was very powerful. The unity of the body. And it tells us that this community that we're talking about, this body, this family, is not just only a New Testament thing. It is all over the scripture. That we can trace it as back at Psalm 133, where it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. The togetherness and the unity. If we are united and we are empowered, then we are a blessed community. And if we being a blessed community, then we will know that our citizenship is in heaven, that our identity is in Christ, and that the kingdom of God must be first. That we must be the kingdom seekers. That this community should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will be added unto us. It was mentioned that we as evangelical frees, and I joked last time somebody asked me why you joined the E-Free. I said, well, it doesn't have evangelicals. It's free from evangelicals. So we as the E-Frees, the church is very permanent in our statement of faith. And in our article of the statements, you can see how we value the church. We talk about the universal church. We talk about the local church. But we talk about something that is very dear to us as evangelical free. That's the autonomy of the church. That we don't have to look for bishops somewhere. We don't have to look for popes. We don't have to look for people to tell us what to do in this body here. Thus, we are a body that can govern itself and just can work with the others in the association. And as such, many times you hear that we're not a denomination, though we may sound and walk like one. We are an association of the body. You know. So the church is very important to us. But not just only to us. For those who take it seriously, really, that they want to know what the Lord is doing, they must look into the church, because that's where God is working. So there's a theologian by name Dennis E. Johnson. He wrote a book called The Message of Acts. He talked about the church, and he said this, Church internal relationships affect the external testimony of the church. So what we do in here, as a body, as a family, as a community, it has impact on what is outside there. And that's what our text is saying this morning, that we look at three things from this text and also make very quick applications to this. The first one that I call the followership, or the following of the Lord Jesus. That first, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You have to offer. You have to come. You have to follow to be part of this body. It's not just a gathering of people who get together on Sunday, okay, and it's good to come and sing and do the other stuff. No, this is a serious business of people who have decided that I have decided to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, then you have to carry your cross and come and follow me. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. That means you are not in charge anymore, Kwathi. You are not in control. Give me the control of your life. Let me be the driver. Let me sit on the driving seat. And I will carry you through. Come, follow Jesus. And I pray this morning that you are here because you want to follow Jesus. And Apostle Paul got it right when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ lives in me. It is when we get to this point, when we surrender, that we really become part of this unique community. That we are unique and we are different in the way that we follow Jesus, because we follow him for what he has done. Many people follow the Lord for what they can get from him and what he can do for them. But we are following him in the response to his mercy. Because he has shown me mercy, though I was a sinner, destined to perish, he came and he hugged me. He came and he cleansed me. He came and he said, you are my child. You belong to me if you are willing to surrender. So that's the unique community that we're looking for. The community of those who want to surrender followership. We have to come and follow the Lord. You have to die to yourself to be a living sacrifice. So you are a living sacrifice because you have been sacrificed. You have died, but the Lord is alive in you, working on the inside, changing the outside. And that's why the Lord Jesus always was saying, you care a lot about what's on the outside, but you don't know what's in the inside. Change the inside, and then now the outside will give glory to God. We want to change so many things. We want to make some programs and we want to appeal to the people. But when they come in here, do they see people following Jesus? Do they see people who have died to their own self? I pray that this will be what we are aspiring for this morning, as we want to be this unique community that follow the Lord. Then my second point is worship. The scripture says that when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, when this become acceptance to the Lord, it marked and become the sign of our worship. So it's still our worship is a response to God's grace on us. And this worship doesn't have to have any other means of sacrifices anymore. We don't have to slaughter bulls and goats and all this, because a sacrifice has been offered and has been accepted on our behalf. That's why Paul is saying, therefore, in light that Jesus is the only sacrifice, that only the blood of Jesus can bring us to God, we don't need anything else. And we should be disturbed by the false worship around us. Because not by the blood of bulls or goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies once and for all, and provided us an internal redemption. That's our Lord Jesus, the center that we sung, Lord, be the center, Jesus, because you are the only sacrifice. You are the Lamb of God. And when John saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And his disciples right away, they understood and they went and they ran after him, because he takes away the sin of the world. So that's in our worship. But this worship also is that when we surrender this way, then God in his mercy, he do something in us. And that's he renew our mind. And the renewal of our minds is very important, because without this renewal, we will conform to the world around us. So you can see that the first 2 points is dealing with the nature of this community that is challenged with the nature of the communities that we are in. Call ourselves Americans or Sudanese. There's always a culture that's trying to wrestle and bring down the culture of the people of God. And we cannot wrestle this on our own. We have to allow God in his mercy to renew our mind. So when it said, do not conform, but be transformed, I take this as a call also for us to transform the communities around us. So our outreach, our evangelism, is not only to those who are far, but even those who are in our backyard here. We have to transform the communities that we are in now. Not by following political agendas and things like that, though they are good and they may help the countries, but the uniqueness of the nature of the church as a unique community can tell us a lot and can impact the world around us. My third part now is the fellowship. If the followership and the worship is by God's mercy, Paul this time is pointing us to the grace of God. And he said, by the grace given to me, or by the grace of God, I'm calling you to be humble and to recognize that you are one community, that you are one family, that you are one body, because you are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, the old has gone, everything has become new. You are transformed. Your mind, your thinking, your priorities are being set and put in the right order. You're not seeking your own anymore. You're not after your desires. You are after the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. So I'm calling you this morning to this humility that is telling us, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We have to be humble. And then he continued to say that we have different gifts according again to the grace given to each of us. And if mercy was to get, not to get what you deserve, grace here is really for God to give you something that you don't deserve. So there it was to get what you deserve, because you were destined to be punished. And here, because you don't lose anything, you are nobody. Don't think of yourself that you are something. You are nothing. But because you know that you are nothing, I'm making something out of you. I'm shaving you into somebody. But humble yourself. It is by the grace of God that we are who we are. And when we respond to this grace and use the gifts that the Lord has given to us, then a unique culture is formed in us as a church. And that unique culture, the people will see and they will know that there is something different in that place. God is at work in that place. And everything about him is going to be great. The demon will tremble because he is great. All the kingdoms will come down, and the kingdom of God shall stand, because God is great. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And that's what the world wants to see. Not us to conform to the world, but to transform the world around us. And now I want to conclude with the challenges that we may have when we respond to God's mercy and when we respond to God's grace. The first challenge was the testimony that I gave, is your flesh, your priorities, your desires, your wills, always trying to stay on the throne and be in control, pulling you away from surrendering yourself. You just want to come to the church, but I don't want to do the rest. Maybe I just want to be somebody there to enjoy and see what they're doing. But there are no spectators in the kingdom of God. We are all called to surrender and participate. So we are in this together. So your body, your flesh, and then your unrenewed mind that has to be renewed. Then the world, the culture, your culture that always try to pull you back to the old days. We cannot wrestle with this unless we surrender and we become living sacrifices. It's only by God's mercy and by his grace that we can do this. And the rest of the chapter, the character traits, the attribute that you see, the forgiveness, the love, and all these things will come true. But above all, the humility. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And Moses was the most humble man upon the earth." And some people asked, did Moses call himself humble, or is it the scribe who put that verse there? But it doesn't matter. What matters is that Moses was humble. And if there's anything that we will remember above everything else in Pastor Bill, is that he was an humble man. He was humble. And he has displayed the characteristic of an humble man in the community of God. So as I leave you this morning to enjoy the rest of your week, I pray that you will offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You will die and carry your cross to follow the Lord, and that you will worship God, not because of what you want from him, but in the response to his mercy over you. And then now you will fellowship with the family of God, and then you will impact the world around you. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks, we give you honor. We thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. Holy Spirit, work in us to fellowship with one another and with you, but also transform the body of Christ and the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.